Friends and radio listeners, it's time once again for the R.G. Hardy broadcast as we come your way today proclaiming, yes, souls are crying, men are dying, won't you help us to win the lost? And I'm so glad that you took the time to tune into our broadcast today, and I invite you to stay with us for the next few moments as we'll be joining the servant of the Lord, Brother Hardy, in a powerful message you don't want to miss. The title of this message is The Relinquishment and Restoration of Christ's Glory. And I know that as you listen each day, that you will take a walk with Brother Hardy into the scriptures and into the doctrine of the glory of Christ, that which he laid aside and that which was restored unto him. Join us now for this powerful message.
I do know. I was looking at the city heaven in that vision, or this person was. And you could see, well, what kind of an adjective? Expectation of what heaven's going to be like. I believe, brother, we're going to blow our mind. I don't believe that we're going to be, you know. Isaiah said, the eyes not seen, the ears not heard, neither is entered in the hearts of men the things that God's prepared for them that love him. Paul brought it over in 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, said, but God has showed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit search of all things, yea, the deep things of God. There's some people that's got out in the Spirit. Paul saw it because he was caught up there. John saw it and give us a description, but still you got to get it in the Spirit and read Revelation with him and walk the streets.
Amen.
I mean, just reading it in the book and you're carnal, you don't get it.
That's right.
But you find yourself transposed in that city with John and start walking with him. Whew. And you know who I saw? I saw RGH with his glorified body, standing at the entrance of the golden city of God and looking at it in awe of its majesty. And I wanted to look back and tell that part of me on earth, it's going to be worth it, boy. Hang in there. No matter how tough it gets, how hard the battle is, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, doth work for us a far more and an exceeding weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen eternal. Now, all the time that God has been communicating to Moses, he's been talking to him face to face, but not with the outward manifestation of his inward essence. And the Hebrew said he talked to him lip to lip. I guess that's where that expression comes, says, don't give me any lip, or if you like them, give me some lip. They were lipping together. Moses and God were so close, they would lip one another. Moses said, give me some lip. God said, come on, Moses, get closer, some more lip for you. God said, if there's a prophet or a seer in Israel, I'll reveal myself to him in dreams and visions, but not so with my prophet Moses. I will talk to him face to face as a man with his friend. And that's what they told Jesus. We know Moses seen God, but we don't know whether you have. And Moses wanted to see God's face with all of his glory on it, because here he's been lipping with him all these years. And God said, no man can see my face, and I'll put the ellipsis in with my glory on and live. Because no man can go up to the sun and look at it without being disintegrated. And when God turns on, it's seven times brighter than the sun. It burns your eyes right out of your head. In fact, it would atomize you. That's what Jesus does when he comes back. He destroys you with the brightness of his coming. And Zechariah said they're going to see him, and their eyes are going to consume in their socket, and their tongue in their mouth, and their flesh is going to melt off like an atomic reaction. No more than you could exist getting up lip to lip with the sun that close within a few inches and live. No more can you in this natural body get that close to God and let him turn on all that full candle power without being atomized. That's why we got to get a glorified body. Not only to see the glory, but to contain the glory. I wasn't saved very long, probably about 6 weeks when God gave me this revelation. I was reading this in Exodus about Moses wanting to see God's glory. I've been fasting most of the 6 weeks because when God saved me, I just knew you had to fast and pray. And when the Lord was blessing me, I thought, Lord, I ain't doing nothing, because I thought everybody that was saved read your Bible, went to church, prayed and fasted when you should have to and need it. Don't you think that's what the Christians should do? They shouldn't get a gold star for praying. I mean, some people come to church and give them a gold star. First time they've been to church in a month. And if they bring the Bible, my God, give them 2 gold stars. And if they open it up, give them 3. And if they look like they're reading, give them 4. And if they keep on, give them more. And mean, I was so high in the spirit, and I read that Moses wanted to see God with his glory on. God said, no mortal man, no man of flesh, especially in his unregenerated state fallen, can behold my face with my glory on and live. He said, but there's a hollow, a cleft in the rock. And I'm going to stick you in the hollow of the rock. Let's read this. He said, I'll hide you in the hollow of the rock. I'll put my hand on you. How long is God's arm? Because he's going to have his hand on the rock and pass by. And the more he passes by, the longer his arm gets. Is that right? Because he kept him covered. I mean, how can you pass by somebody, especially my little arm? Me and Omar, we couldn't pass very far. Our hand would come off. We wouldn't be able to go very far till I'd have to take the hand off. And the guy was there, he might even see some of my face and get burned up. So the longer the Lord walked, the longer his arm got. All right, now let's read it now. I got you all set up. 33:18.
And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee.
Now what did God say? Now what did Moses say? Show me your glory. And God said, I will make all my goodness, which is his glory, which contains his glory, pass by you. Now, let me give you the definition of the word glory. In the Hebrew, it's kabod. Remember, when the sons of Eli desecrated the temple and Eli died and God wrote one on the door? Ichabod, which meant the glory has departed. Kabod is the word for glory in Hebrew. And in the Greek, it's doxa, D-O-X-A, doxa. When we were over in Greek, they were out there. We greet them. You know how we say glory to God? They say doxa, doxa, doxa. And the word glory means that by which a person or a thing is known, his reputation. So you're known by your reputation. Or that by which a person or a thing is known, his recognition. So therefore, when we say give God his glory, we are saying give God his recognition. And when you recognize God as the supreme being, worship belongs to him, so you worship him and serve him. You see, when you give God his recognition, you recognize him as God, which means your owner and master. And 2 things you owe to him. You owe to him worship and obedience. And if you do not obey God, even though you worship him, you are not recognizing God. He's not your God. Or you would obey him. Gods are to be obeyed and to be worshipped. The prime function of a God is to be worshipped and obeyed. Amen. And if you don't do that, you are not giving him his glory or recognition. And Moses was saying, let your recognition pass by. You see, Jesus laid aside his glory or recognition as God. And nobody that he grew up or come in contact with could recognize that he was God. Amen. They were all called him a man. The Lord had no problem proving his humanity. He had a problem proving his deity. Mm-hmm. Because he laid aside the outward manifestation of his inner reality. That's what he emptied himself of. So now, Moses says, let your recognition pass by. And if you ever saw God's recognition, you wouldn't have to say, who's that went by? Mm-hmm. You'd know who went by. How many say, you wouldn't have to say, who's that fellow that was here? You know, you'd be down on your knees praying.
I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen.
Now, what was God's recognition? What was God's glory that he was going to make pass by? I will make all of my goodness, because God is known for being good. In fact, good is a synonym for God. There's none good but who? God. That came out of the mouth of Jesus. When the Pharisees came up to Jesus and said, Good master, he said, Wait a minute, are you attributing to me deity? There's none good but God. Think what you're saying.
Yes, amen.
He knew they weren't, but he was going to try to get them in the corner to make a decision.
That's right.
Now let's read this starting at his goodness.
I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face.
Okay, now part of God's recognition is goodness and mercy and graciousness. That's what God's known by. As well as his outward glowing. The glory, the outward glowing, is the secondary part of his recognition. The inward part was, he's good, he's merciful, he's gracious, he's kind, he pardons, he gives grace, and his name. How many say amen? You see, God is known by his name, which is, we call Jehovah, which is Yahweh, which means I will be what I will be. I hope you're getting what God was making pass by here.
Amen. Saints, have you been enjoying this uplifting message by God's servant, Brother Hardy? The relinquishment and restoration of Christ's glory? I trust that you have, and that you are coming to know in a greater measure the depths of his love for us, that he was willing to lay aside his equality with the Father, to take upon himself the fashion of a man, and even be found in the form of a servant. You know, the scriptures declare that he did not even take upon himself the form of angels, but he took upon himself flesh and blood, even the seed of Abraham, that he might taste death for every man. This message is sure to be one that you want to include in your spiritual cassette library. And we're happy to let you know that it is available to you today on both CD and cassette. In fact, we want to offer you something special today. When you order the Relinquishment and Restoration of Christ's Glory, we will include the bonus message, God Became Man. The Bible declares, oh, the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh. Now, we want to send you both messages, the Relinquishment and Restoration of Christ's Glory and God Became Man. For your love gift of at least $10, you can receive the two audio cassettes. And for your love gift of at least $15, you can receive the two CDs. Please send your love offering and request the God Became Man series. Send your love gift to Brother Hardy, P.O. Box 1744, Baltimore, Maryland 21203. And send a love gift of $10 if you want the audio cassette, or $15 if you want the CDs. Write us today and be sure to tell us how much the radio ministry is blessing your life, because we want to know that you're being blessed by the Word of God.
When the lost